I want to begin just with the outline of our study, just so you can see where we are. And we're going to go really quickly. We started with just talking about creation, evolution, how it all fit together. Then we went to evolution. We talked about the kinds of evolution, the types of evolution, and we talked about aspects involved. We talked about problems of theistic evolution and progressive creationism and how evolution really affects us. Then we started, or affects our views. Then we went to creation, and we gave the definition, and we compared evolution and creation. And then we talked about how if you hold to creation, how it'll affect your views. Then, where we are now is in the various aspects, and we're going to be certain things. We're looking at Genesis 1, 1, 2, and 3, and with that, is there a gap or no gap? And last week, I just wanted to talk about it. Some people say, well, I didn't know there was a gap. Why do we even bring the thing up? Well, because some people talk about these issues, and we got to know them, and so we're looking at that, and then we're going to talk a little bit about days or ages, and then we'll get to that this morning, and we may finish the whole thing. It's just according to how fast we want to go and whatever questions or input you want to have. And then we'll look at dinosaurs, before with men, dinosaurs in the Bible. We'll go on with about the flood. I think the flood will be kind of fun because there are a lot of people who hold to whether the real question is, was it a worldwide flood or was it just a local flood? And we'll see what the Bible has to say, and we'll talk about how did it all work and Noah and the ark and the animals and all that kind of thing. And then I think we finally get the man himself, the prehistoric man. I'm going to try to figure out a way to put some of the handout things that I have. I'm going to get with Joshua. Joshua maybe can help me, and we'll figure out a way to put some of these things up on the Tron for us so that we can see how all this works. And so there's some great, we call it the Tron. Yeah. Okay. So now let's look at Genesis and let's remind ourselves. Here's the issue. And I think, do you have the slide right here? That's all you got? You don't have the one we had last week that had original creation, Genesis 1, 1, 2, and 3? We'll muffle through somehow. Yeah, that's afterwards. All right. We got the handout anyway. You remember there were three different things we looked at? We said that when you look at Genesis 1, 1, 2, and 3, it could be some view. The view is it's original creation. Some view is that, no, it was the creation, and then something happened, and there's a reconstruction of everything. And then the third view is that that's not really even the original creation at all. The original creation was told about in Isaiah 45, and this is a second creation. So we looked at that. Let me just remind you of some things. I'm going to go through it very quickly because we talked about this last week. But let me show you. The first view is the original creation. That Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's his overview statement, that I have created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 begins with what they call a vav disjunctive. We mentioned this last week in Hebrew. A vav disjunction would be something that sort of stops and says, like, now. And we think that the vav disjunctive there is saying, okay, now I'm going to give you the explanation. I've given you the overview. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let me show you how he did it. And verses 2 and 3 on down tell how he did it. And translated, it says, and the earth was formless and void. And so the Hebrew word there, was, is the normal translation of that to be verb. And so that's one view. Here it is. In the beginning, God created the earth. Now, here's how he did it. The earth was formless and void, and da-da-da-da-da, and God said, let there be light, and he did this and this and this, and that's the creation. The second view is that there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 that says, in the beginning, God created the earth. With the vav disjunctive, there's a gap, like, now, something happened in between 1 and 2, and there was this gap there. And there are people who hold to a gap saying a very short period of time happened, maybe just the fall of Lucifer, that there was the devil, of course, was the angel, and he was guarding the throne of God, and he rebelled, and the other angels rebelled with him. And that's what happened. And then it caused a lot of problems. And so verse 2 starts off by saying, and the earth... And they say a better translation is the earth became formless and void. And that's that second view. And then verse 3 goes on and God is reconstructing. Now, the gap theory people hold to a number of things. Number one, some just say, oh, all that happened is there's a gap there and that's when the angels rebelled. Others say, no, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2 were a long, 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 long gap. And this is where you have the dinosaurs. This is where you have all kind of things that give us the age of the earth and this long, long. In fact, when people look at the earth, it's just millions of years old. And so this is where this gap comes in. Some even say that there were subhumans. That's where there's Neanderthals and all these things, and that there was a race of human beings that weren't really human beings yet, that God's going to come somewhere as they evolved around or did things, then God would come in and maybe change them and give them a soul and make them different than that. And so that's the second view. And of course, then verse 3, they begin to go into the details of this reconstruction. That's called the gap theory. There is a third view, and that's the one that says this is not even the original creation here. The original creation is in the passage in Isaiah 45 that talks about God created everything and he created it not null or void or whatever. Basically, it says he created it to be inhabited. That's what Isaiah 45 says. But some interpret it to mean, oh, he created it with a great, everything was perfect. And when you get to verse 2 of Genesis 1, it says the earth was formless and void. So, oh, can't be the same creation. And so a third view is that this is a second act of creation that he just doesn't tell us there. In Genesis, he just says God created the heavens and the earth. And if you go to Isaiah, he had already created it all. Something bad happened, probably Satan's rebellion and everything else. And so he doesn't tell us, but he's starting a new creation here in Genesis 1. That's the three major views. Now, let me tell you, honestly, I take view number one. And I see it, that flow, the way I taught it. I think there's some real issues with the gap theory. If you say gap theory only in the sense that there was a time gap in there and that Lucifer fell and then everything else is fine, I can say, okay, if that's because we don't know when Lucifer fell. We don't know when that happened. It doesn't tell us. We don't see it. Do you know the angels? If you read the first two chapters of Genesis and you see the 6 days of creation, angels aren't mentioned. And there's some other places that say the angels sang with joy. And it could be that the angels were created and fell at a whole different time before God created the heavens and the earth. Gap theory people might say, God created the heaven and the earth, he created the angels, they fell, and then he comes back to verse 2. If that's what you want to hold to, that's fine. If you want to go to long, long, long periods of time, subhumans, dinosaurs, death of animals, death of people, that's going to go against the scripture because Romans 5:12 says it's through one man sin in the world and death by sin and death passed upon all. Death did not enter the world till Adam and Eve sinned, if you hold to the scripture. So I can't hold to a big gap in there and all these things dying and all that until you have Adam and Eve. And so you can't see that. The third view, which is the recreation, the problem I have with that is that he doesn't say this is my second creation anywhere. In fact, he uses the word bara, which means to make out of nothing. And it would seem that this would be a recreation and not a starting over creation. You know what I mean? And so it just doesn't seem to match for me. With if he uses bara, which means to make out of nothing, according to Isaiah, then he's already got something. So what does he do? Just make it all disappear and start again? He didn't say that. So I would say that the best view of the way that I hold to it is I hold to view number one, which says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, which is an overall statement, a general statement of what God did. Then beginning at verse 2, he says, now, let me show you how he did it. The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of the Lord, you know, darkness was this, and God did this, and God said, let there be light, and this was one day, and then this is this, 2 days, and this is, that's how I see it. You can hold to a gap, you can hold to long periods of time, you can do whatever you want to, and that's fine. I just see biblically the best way that it fits. And let me give you a couple of things and we'll open up for questions. Number one, I think looking at it as view number one fits the grammar better. The vav disjunctive allows for a stop, but it allows for the explanation. It also has the verb was, and nowhere else is that verb in that form translated became. It's was. So even all of our Bibles last week, I said, how many of your Bibles say, and the earth became formless and void, and not a single hand went up? All of them translated was. So I think it fits the grammar that way. It seems to fit the language. The bara comes out of nothing. I don't think it's a second creation or even a reworking aspect there. We'll get to it in a few minutes when we look at Exodus 20, when you talk about the 6 days of creation and how all that fits. The one thing, and let's just say this, there's no way from Genesis 1 and chapter 2, we do not know about the creation of Satan and the angels. We do not know about the fall. He doesn't tell us this. All we know is by chapter 3, it says that here is the serpent coming, and he's basically possessed by the devil. And so we don't know anything. He doesn't tell us. Isaiah 28, Ezekiel 40 tells us about this rebellion of this angel that moves away from God, who wanted to be like the Most High. Isaiah says he the five I wills of Satan, I will be like the Most High, I will rule from the heavens, I will, and God removed him from his position. And so you find in those two passages in the Old Testament plus the Isaiah passage, there's these angels and But Genesis doesn't tell us anything about it. So no matter what view you want to try to hold to, you will have to speculate to say, I wonder when the angels came about, I wonder when the fall came, and I wonder why it happened. All we know is that by chapter 3, it's happened and the devil is coming to tempt Eve and Adam, or the woman as she's called there. Now, there are views that say that the angels were created in the 6 days, but God didn't mention them. Just doesn't mention them. They don't have to mention everything. And that after the 6 days of creation, after creating Adam and Eve somewhere in there, that's when Lucifer fell and then comes to tempt the woman. Who knows? It doesn't tell us. But at this stage of the game, as I study the Bible, the best it seems to fit to me, not only with the language, but what I can see the rest of the Bible, I don't hold to a gap. I don't hold to a big, especially a big gap and death and all that happening in between and all of that long age things. I just don't hold to that. And I just take it in the first view. Okay. And you're welcome to do your own study, look at it. I just wanted you to see the views and see how it fits. And that, so that when some people says to you, oh, well, I think there's a gap, you at least know what they're talking about and say, well, you can say, yes, I hold to a gap, or I don't hold to a gap, or here's why I don't, or here's the problem I have with gaps and all that. Okay, questions, comments before we go on to look at the day age part. Anything you want to... Rick? Okay, what happened? In Genesis, what they would say, Rick, is Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and it's everything is fine, it's a real world and everything. Then there's the gap, a long period of time, in which that long period of time, there were dinosaurs, subhuman people, all kind of things. And then what God does is he comes back and there's a judgment, and that's why it became formless and void. That's how they take that verb. He came in and sort of just wiped it all out and said, now I'm going to start it over. That's the gap theory, okay? Now, the second creation theory is that God created everything good, then something bad happened, and so Genesis 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and on, are just telling us about a time that he came back and started it over. He just doesn't tell us he started it over there. Well, some people would say he judged the angels, and some people would say that there were humans in this original thing, and fall and mess and everything else, and so he started over. So that's the views. That's what you have to have. I personally don't hold to those. I hold to no gap, and that it just is Genesis 1:1 is the overview, and Genesis 2 on begins to give the details on how he did what he did. You're welcome to check it on out and think whatever you want to think. I'm just giving you that information. What else? Any other input? Yes. No, the Greek word there is thanatos, and death entered in sin. But as you look at the passage and you see all the way through the Bible, what you find is that go all the way back to Genesis, where it says, in the day that you eat of that fruit, dying you shall surely die. And they did die spiritually, but that also began physical death, and physical death is always a result of spiritual death. I think if you take Romans 5:12, he is talking about a spiritual death, but it also affected the physical death. And the best that I can see from the Scripture is there wasn't death in the world until Adam sinned spiritually, which began to bring physical death. And then, if you remember, immediately after they died, after they sinned and there was spiritual death, when God brought them back to himself, what did he do? He killed an animal. He had a physical death right there. Probably, I would say, that was the first time they had ever seen anything die. And there was this bloodshed, and God's basically saying to Adam and Eve, this animal died in your place because of your sin, and you've been trying to cover yourself up with fig leaves. I'm going to cover you with the coats of skin from this animal. And that's a symbolic picture that all the Old Testament sacrifices were a covering for sin, looking forward to the Lamb of God who would take away sin. That's how I see it. Yeah. Yes. Okay, wait a minute. I have to get over there to hear you, unless you want to talk loud. The tree of life, because best we can understand, he said he did not want them to eat from the tree of life in a state of a fallen condition and then be in that condition forever. So he removed them from the garden and the tree of life. And I think it was also the aspect of they didn't have the privilege of staying in that garden anymore because of their sin. Well, at least you know there's a gap. If somebody wants to say there's one, you know where they find it and how it all fits together. Now, let's think about the day age. Because that's big too. In Genesis 1, 1 and 2, there are people who say, when he said, eat in the morning, the first day and the second day and 6 days and all that, that God didn't mean 6 days like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, Saturday, 6 days. He meant long, long, long times. These were ages, eons. And that there was the first day, and that was just maybe millions of years. And then the second day, and millions of years, and third. And that's why the earth is so old and all of that when people look at it. And so this is how we get that. And so there's some people who say, Jesus, I mean, Moses, when he wrote that down, didn't mean day, like we think of a day, like Tuesday. Or this was the second day we were here. We would naturally assume, well, they were there 2 days. We would think, two long periods of time? No, we'd say, well, 2 days. And so how does all this fit? And we're going to see how it ties together as you look at it. And here's some questions that we always raise when we think about this. How old is the earth? Where do the dinosaurs fit in? In Genesis 1, were those days or long periods of time? Were there millions of years? How does all this fit together? Well, we want to see the day age. And when you read Genesis 1, now I want you to understand something. Genesis 1 is written by Moses. Now, when Moses wrote this down and gave these first five books to the nation of Israel, you got to remember there had been Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. All these people existed before there was a written revelation. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't understand revelation, because from Adam and Eve on, the message of God and the truth and everything had been passed down in an oral way. This is just the first of the written revelation that we have, and then there's a lot more to come. Of course, Moses put it down. Moses is writing to his people and giving them God's revelation. Now, we look at it the same way because we realize that the Scripture is given to us. So when we read the Bible, we're saying we are reading God's revelation to us. You know that if you look at 2 Timothy, it says all Scripture is inspired by God. It didn't just say New Testament or Old Testament. It said all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. It even says in another place that the things that were written in the past, written in the Old Testament, were written for our instructions. So the idea there is we have God's written revelation. I always tell people this, that revelation is God making himself known. Inspiration is God making himself known in a written form. That's why it says all Scripture is inspired. Inspiration is a written form of revelation. Now we have inspiration, a written form of revelation. And when we read this, and when the Jewish person would read this, what was God communicating to them? That's the question you have to ask. When God says, and Jesus got in the boat, went to the other side, what is God communicating to us? When it says, whoever believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life, what's he communicating to us? Does God play tricks and games? I mean, you know, there was an interpretation called allegorical interpretation, that there were some times that people thought that behind whatever the Scripture said, there was a hidden meaning. And they would take a passage where Jesus got in the boat and went across the Sea of Galilee. They would say that means Jesus, of course, getting into the boat is symbolic of him becoming a human being. And getting in the boat, going across the Sea of Galilee is his life. And where there were waves and stuff, that was where Jesus had turmoil and problems. And when he got to the other side, that's symbolic of Jesus fulfilling his duty. Well, the truth is, that passage just means Jesus got in the boat and went to the other side. You got to, you know, stretch all that stuff in there is not what the Bible really says. So what does God say? And I mean, I'm going to be honest, I'm not smart. I'm not a smart person. I'm not one of those brain guys that can look at stuff and know everything. But I do know the languages because I studied them at Dallas Seminary, and I do know the Scripture as a whole. And when I look at the Scripture, I see what I think I see in my limitedness on what the Bible has to say. And the only thing I can go by is what the Scripture has to say. I can't go by what all the scientists say. I can't go by what all those brilliant people say. I just can only go back to the Scripture. So what does it say about this day-age thing and all that stuff? So let's start. And there's some questions I want you to think about. Not that overhead yet, because I think there's some other things. But the first thing we want to talk about is we're going to talk about how does the Bible use the word day? Because how do we use the word day? And we need to think about that. And we're going to talk about the significance of first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. And there's a thing that keeps going in there. He keeps saying evening and morning was the first day, and evening and morning was the second day. And we'll see all that. And then there's the third aspect we'll look at is what is the context of Genesis? And is that the bells already? That wasn't it, was it? Oh, my. Okay. Well, anyway, we'll get to this today and next time. But let me give you the idea of the word day. Think about this. How do we use the word day? We say, you know, I'm going to be there today. Or, you know, it was only one day that we were there. What do we mean by that? A 24-hour, I mean, that was the day. We can also say that it was day when we left, but it was night by the time we got there. We mean what? Daylight. Or we could say, you know, in my father's day, they all walked to school in the snow for 2 miles. That's what he told me anyway, in my father's day. And what do we mean by that? A period of time. How does the Bible use the word day? The Hebrew word for day is yom, Y-O-M. You've heard of Yom Kippur? That means day of covering. Okay. And by the way, it meant a particular day of covering. But let's think about it. The Hebrew word is like our word. It can mean a 24-hour time period. It will say Ezra left on the first day of the week. Do you think when they read that they thought, okay, first day of the week is what day? Sunday. Do you think they understood that? That it meant the first day of the week? Yeah, okay. Sometimes the Bible could use it like daylight and darkness. They'll say something like, and it was day or it was night when he did this. Rarely, but on occasions, it will talk about a time period using day. Joel, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not one day. The day of the Lord actually begins at the rapture of Jesus Christ and goes all the way through the millennium. That's called the day of the Lord. So how in the world do we know how it fits? Well, let's talk about it, and we'll get started, and we'll see how some of these things match together and all of this. So let's begin, and I think go ahead and throw that slide up there that you had. This is where we are. The use of the word day, yom, Y-O-M, and it could mean those three things. So when we go to the Bible, when you look in the Bible, you have to say, okay, let me look in the context. How is the word being used? Now, I've got something for you that, by the way, let me throw this out. We're still on number one. When you go to the book, the Old Testament, the word yom, day, is used right at 2,000 times. 1,900 of those times. If you look in the context, 1,900 of the 2,000 times, it's referring to a 24-hour daytime. Just a day. We went there 3 days. We were there one day. I came on the first day. It's used 1,900 times. 100 times, it's used for the day of the Lord. 100 times. So about 95% of the time, it always means a literal day. About 5% of the time, it means the day of the Lord, like an event. I couldn't find a place where it says, in my father's day, or now it'll say, in those days, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's plural. It's not singular. It means literal days. In those days that those people lived, ever how many days it was, that's first bell, right? Not second bell. Okay, good, good. Okay, we still got 5 minutes, see? We're okay. We might get through the whole thing. Then again, maybe not. Okay, so sometimes when you see day, most of the time, I mean, just already you're going to understand that over 1,900 times it means a literal day. About 100 times it means like the day of the Lord. And I couldn't find a single place where it says something like in my father's day. It does say in the days of the judges, but it's plural, not singular there. And it means their days. Okay, section two, and this is, we'll just probably get started on this one. A day, when it has a cardinal or an ordinal numeral, meaning this, when it says 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, or first day, second day, third day. When it's used with something like a number connected with it, first, second, third, fourth, 1, 2, 3, 4, it always, I can't find a single exception, always means a literal day. Outside of the book of Genesis, there are 357 places that it's used, like 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 1, 2, 3, 4. It always means literal days. Exodus 24, 16, they covered 6 days. Ezra 3, 7, on the first day of the month we did this. Leviticus 19, 6, on the third day of the feast. Genesis 30, verse 36 said they made a 3-day journey. Every time it's used with a numeral, a 1, 2, 3, 4, a 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th. Every time, I can't find any exception anywhere. In fact, since I'm not the scholar of read everything, but I've read some scholars, and they said that nowhere that they can find in Hebrew language, whether it's biblical or regular Hebrew language, anytime you use the word yom with a 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, or 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, it always means a literal day. That's the impression. There's also something else tied in with it. And that is the statement evening and morning. Now, we're going to stop with this because I know time's going to run out on this one. But if you remember, the Jewish day, when did the Jewish day begin? 6 o'clock in the evening. And on a Jewish day, normally, like tonight, at let's just say around 6 o'clock, it becomes Monday night. And then it goes all night long. And then tomorrow morning would be Monday day. See, their nights come first. In Genesis 1, it says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. In a Jewish concept, a day, a real day, had an evening and a morning. And so if you were to say, and the evening and the morning were the first day, do you think in their concept that they thought it was a day, a literal day, or a long time period? What would they think? A literal day. A day has an evening and a morning. Evening and morning, the first day. If it's got day one, day two, day three, first day, second day, third day. So I want you to understand that when you see day, and it's almost always used as a literal day, and then any time, and I've looked everywhere I can find, that it always, whether it's a cardinal or numeral, ordinal, whatever's got with it, connected with it, it's going to mean first, second, third, it's going to mean a day. Okay. Exodus 18:13, it says, the people with Moses from the morning to the evening. What do you think that meant? A day. Always a literal day. 2,000 times, it's a literal day. With a number, it's always a day. Evening and morning, always a literal day. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is to just let you know, because we're running out of time. But if you think about chapter 1 of Genesis, and that's the third thing, the context of Genesis 1. Listen to this. God, verse 5, God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and there was the evening and there was the morning one day. You get down to verse 8, God called the expanse heaven, and there was the evening and there was the morning a second day. And then you get down to verse 13, says, and there was an evening and there was a morning a third day. And verse 19, there was an evening and a morning a fourth day. As a person reading this, what would they think? Now, we'll see it more next week because I know time is up. But what would they think? Long, long, long time periods, right? No. Huh? Yeah, a day. What else could it be in their minds? Now, somebody could say, well, they were just stupid and he didn't want them to know that. Does God, I mean, we're going to go over to Exodus next week. And what does Exodus say? Exodus 20? You shall work 6 days and rest on the seventh, for in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh. Do you think they thought, yeah, we work 6 days and rest because he worked six long time periods and then rested? So when we look at it, we'll see more. Let me open it up for questions until that bell. The bell hadn't rung yet. The second one hadn't, has it? Nobody's heard it? Good. Okay, we got a second. Yeah. Wow. Well, it varies. It's a great question. How long? A scholar by the name of Usher decided he would just go back and check, and he came up with 4,004 years from Adam and Eve to Christ. And you know, then we found out that he didn't realize the word begot didn't mean father son. It just meant descendant of, because the conservative scholars who hold to what we say is a young earth could say it's anywhere from 10,000 to 20,000 years old. Other people say millions of years. Now, you may say to me, and this is a great point, and I know that was the bell, but some people say, well, JB, everything shows it's so old. Well, you remember we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. There is a built-in age in this earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, and when he made the mountains and the trees and Adam and all of that, there was built-in age. When he made Adam, the day that he made him, how old did Adam look the exact moment he created him? 53, the perfect age. And we know that. And so think about it. And when he made those mountains, we could look at those mountains and we could go, wow, they've been there millions of years. And he said, no, I just created them. And when there was a tree, he didn't start it from seeds. He said he created the trees and the cows and the animals and man and the mountains. And he created it all. He spoke it into existence. And when you saw a tree that he just created, we humanly looking at it go, good night, that thing's been there 100 years, I bet. And he said, no, I just spoke it into being. So I think there's a built-in age in what people as human beings are trying to figure out how old this is. I think there's built-in age in it from the creation. So if you ask me, I think conservatively, it could be as young as 10,000 years. Could be as old as 20 or 30. And you may say, you just don't know a thing. I know I don't. I don't. But that's how I see it biblically. Okay? That's a great question. Was that?
I thought in verse 11 it says.
What does it say?
It says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, let there be these animals and the creeping things and all. Boom. It was so. Yeah, we don't see it started with nothing and letting it come up and grow. He just started it. That was the second bell, wasn't it? No, I'm off the hook. Okay, here's what we'll do. Next week, we'll start right in this thing, and he's already taken it off, but we'll talk about these days. Now, just be ready, and if there's questions or comments, we'll do the best we can to answer them for you, but I think it's important that you know this, or at least be able to give a view of how you see these things fitting together. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great day. Thank you for each one who have come. What a great time, Lord. Thank you that you spoke it all into being. That you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you spoke it into being, and you are our God and our Savior and our creator and our redeemer and our sustainer and our provider. Thank you for everything you've done. Most of all, thank you for Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.